All right. Fighting for the family. We're going to continue this on remarriage. Understanding the pitfalls that can come with remarriage. The Bible calls it trouble in the flesh. All marriage, to some degree, is going to have some trouble in the flesh. Amen. There's going to be some of that. You may try to deny that and everything, but if you're single here, understand that there's one thing, that when you get married, there's going to be some trouble in the flesh. But Paul says, yet I spare you. Amen. There's going to be some of that. Let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. I just pray you bless us now and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Remarrying before bitterness is healed from past hurts will cause extreme trouble in the flesh. If someone remarries before they get their bitterness dealt with from past hurts, it's a thorn that is going to come up in that marriage. It will, if it's not dealt with. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. I'm trying to give you a scriptural advice here, okay? I'm trying to give you some scriptural principles to follow. You may not agree with everything I say, but I want you to see what the Word of God says about this, and I want you to be cautious and careful. Now, you may be someone that grew up, this could apply to you as any person. You may be someone that grew up and you're bitter about some things the way you grew up, or you have bitterness in your heart about something. The same thing applies. If you get married and you have a lot of bitterness in your heart over past hurts and things, you're going to carry that into that relationship. And whether you try to deny that or not, it doesn't matter, because that root of bitterness will spring up and it's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15 says this: looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let all Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Being hurt can cause bitterness in the heart. And its roots can dig deep down inside, and it'll spring up and destroy. It'll spring up in your marriage. If you've been hurt before, it'll spring up. If it's not dealt with properly. If you don't deal with bitterness or past hurts the right way, then you're going to... That root of bitterness will spring up. It's kind of like when they build a house over a spring or something over a spring. And chances are many times they don't even know it. They don't even know it's really there. And then all of a sudden one day the basement starts flooding. And they figured out, well, we built this on a spring. Don't build your marriage on a spring of bitterness. Don't start the foundation of your marriage with bitterness. Don't go from a divorce into a remarriage and have a spring of bitterness in you. Right, or death of someone or anything. You cannot have that past hurts, somebody dying, somebody abusing you, somebody verbal abuse, physical abuse, whatever the case may be. Bringing that into the next relationship with you, it'll cause a root of bitterness. If those hurts are not dealt with, it'll cause that. Bitterness will cause trouble. Isn't it interesting that the same language is used that Paul says, you'll have trouble in the flesh? And he says here, springing up, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Same language. Lest it trouble you. That's why we got to get things right with God. That's why we got to forgive others. Because if we don't forgive them, we'll have hate in our heart and it'll become bitter and hard. And you're not only going to affect your life, but the life of the person you marry. You're going to affect them too. Can you say with all truth that you've forgiven those that have harmed you? Ephesians chapter 4, Verse number 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Bitterness will cause trouble. We must forgive those that trespass against us. How do we do that? By practicing kindness and being tenderhearted. We have to practice kindness. We have to be able to forgive and let go, because if we don't, we will be in trouble and a root of bitterness springs up in that relationship. I've met men that were not ready to remarry and jump the gun on it and were not over their bitterness and it crept in the new relationship and caused many problems. Why? Because they never healed. They never forgave. Some woman took advantage of them or did something and they never forgave. They never let it go. They never just let it go. And what did it do? It caused problems with trying to love the next person that they were to love. Because they never dealt with it. They never dealt with it and got it taken care of. And if you do that, the same thing's going to happen to you. It may be in your childhood. There may be some offenses there. And if you don't let those go and forgive those people, it will be a root of bitterness that springs up into your life and it will come back to haunt you. And it will destroy the next relationship. We have to be able to forgive for Christ's sake. We have to be able to forgive and let go, because if we don't, it'll consume us. It's one of the troubles of the flesh that can be largely avoided, though. Let me ask you a question. Can I wish that person the best even though they would find the Lord, and that they would find the Lord or find the love of God in the future, that they would get right with God, maybe even get married, have a fruitful life? Can I, the person that I divorced, can I wish them well? Can I be sure that, listen, you can move on and I pray that you find salvation. I pray that person gets saved. I pray that they treat their next spouse better than they ever treated me. Can you do that? Can you honestly do that? Not a facade. Not a face value. But deep within your heart, can you wish them a better life with someone else? Could you look on that person that's with someone else that was to love you but treated you poorly, and they are treating that person with love and kindness and they're different? They were changed and they live a good life with another person. Everything that you were supposed to have. Everything that you were supposed to have with them, you didn't. But can you wish them well through that? Can you not be jealous or angry or bitter or have wrath or malice over it? Maybe you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend at one time. And you weren't living right, and you know, or you didn't know any better, you know, out there. But that person was abusive towards you. Could you be happy for them if they found the truth and they changed? Could you be happy for them and if they got right with God and they lived a good life and they loved that person for the rest of their life? Would you wish them well, or would you be bitter and angry because it wasn't you? And you had to go through the turmoil? Or could you let it go for Christ's sake and say, you know, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to allow it to consume my life or carry it with me for the rest of my life, but I'm going to let it go. If you can't say that, then maybe you haven't forgiven them. Maybe you're still bitter. Maybe that bitterness will be carried through to another relationship, and that root of bitterness will spring up at the worst time, and you'll be angry and have malice and wrath. Why? Because you've not let things go. You've not just accepted it and prayed for them and said, you know what? I pray all goes well. I pray the best for them in their life. Even if he or she marries again, treats that spouse better than ever, Can I just let it go? Can I just be happy for that person? Can I just pray for them and let it go and let the Lord deal with them and forgive them? Truly forgive them. If you can't do that, then that root of bitterness will destroy you. It'll destroy your relationship because you'll be carrying past sins through to the next relationship and not dealing with them. And you'll blame the next person that comes along. And the slightest thing that they do, they'll be accused of being the other person. It's tough when you get hurt. Before I was saved, I had wrong relationships. And I'll tell you what, they affected me. They even affected my marriage when I got married. Absolutely. Why? Because anytime you do something the wrong way, it's going to hurt. Anytime something does, it's going to hurt. It's going to take wounds. And you're going to have wounds. There are troubles in the flesh. Even though I wasn't married before, there was still trouble in the flesh. You know, they carry over. If you're not careful, you got to put that down. You got to put that flesh down. You got to, like the Apostle Paul said, you got to put your body into subjection. And he doesn't mean your physical body. He's talking about your spiritual. He's talking about your spirit, you. You've got to beat that down into subjection, the flesh. Not the flesh like this, but the fleshly sin nature inside of you has to be under control and dominated by the Spirit. Amen. It has to be dominated by the Spirit. Amen. You got to mortify the deeds of the flesh because they'll come up and they'll creep up on you. You got to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. Amen. All right. Next, remarrying before past sins and weights have been repented of. This right here is a major cause why even a second marriage can fall apart and you can have problems. Why? Not repenting of past sins. Now, this could also involve children as well as a husband or a wife. I want you, now I'm going to kind of focus, I'm going to broaden this a little bit so you understand this, okay? This could involve the children as well as the husband or the wife. Sin that is not repented of will grow in the lives of the children as well. Whatever children are exposed to, they can become subject to in the flesh. Understand that. If the person remarrying was the one sinned against, there is no need to deal with that sin in the family. There's a need to deal with that sin in the family. If a person remarrying is the one sinned against, you still have to deal with it. Maybe you weren't the one that sinned, but somebody else was, but you still got to deal with that sin that was sinned against you. You still have to deal with that and fix that and teach and instruct children and yourself to understand and to deal with things that come. Say, for instance, fornication occurred or drunkardness or drug addicts. There's a need to deal with that sin or it will rear its ugly head up again in the lives of that family, the new family, the blended family that comes along. The children could be bitter about losing mom or dad. You got to be careful when a remarriage takes place and things like that. Children could be already bitter about it. I mean, man, they lost their mom and dad. Maybe it wasn't your fault. They know it's not your fault, but they're still carrying bitterness. But so many people just jump the gun and get married right away and don't think about the children and trying to prepare them and find out where their hearts are in this situation and heal them and work on them first before they move on to get married again. You might destroy more lives with what your children have been through if you're not careful. Your first ministry is to your children, to minister unto them and help them through that if they've had that grievous thing happen to them. If the person that divorced had an anger problem, then mom and dad need to deal with anger in the children before they marry again. There must be some love toward that to that child and immerse them in love and to teach them that that anger is not proper. That anger has to be dealt with. Why? Because it'll rear its head in the marriage. It'll rear its head in that family if it's not dealt with. Too much kicking the can down the road today. Too much of that. And not dealing with things. You know why usually a lot of times first marriages end up in divorce in the first place? Because somebody in that person's life kicked the can down the road and didn't deal with sin. Somebody didn't deal with it. Somebody let it go. A father didn't deal with the sin in their child. A mother didn't deal with the sin in the child. A father didn't deal with the sin in the home. And what happened? You exported that out to some other poor lady that married him. Or some other poor man that married your daughter. And he didn't deal with the sin that was there. If the person that, you know, children need stability, they must know that their mom and dad are there for them first. When the marriage is dissolved and something happens and they find that father finds himself alone or mother finds herself alone with the children, first thing she needs to do is concentrate on those children's, besides her own personal spiritual life, but concentrate on those children. See, there's not much preaching on this today because nobody wants to admit the reality of divorce. So they don't preach on it. Oh, well, you must be condoning it. I don't condone sin. Mine or anybody else's. But the truth is, divorce is a reality. And it's a big reality today. And let's try to deal with it now. And let's try to deal with it to prepare people so it doesn't have to repeat itself again. Amen? That's what we ought to be doing. That's how you heal people through the Word of God. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin brings death. It will be the death of anything. Here in this world, it will kill a relationship. It will kill a family. Sin kills. Sin not dealt with kills. You don't deal with sin? It's going to kill. It's going to kill. You better make sure you as a person have confessed any of those sins that led to divorce as well. And that may be sins, and that the sins of your former spouse have been dealt with and your reaction to them has been dealt with. You might not be the guilty party, but you're still, maybe your reaction was wrong to certain things and maybe you acted in the flesh. You better deal with those things. Because if you don't deal with them, what's going to end up happening is it's going to rear its head up in your new relationship. It's going to rear it up. It's going to be a problem. The next thing we've got to look at, we've got to consider the person we have a desire to marry. When somebody is looking after divorce and remarriage, I think there's, you know, by the way, this stuff can apply to somebody who wants to be married as well. Amen. Some young person. I mean, a lot of this is just practical advice. And you say, well, I don't need it right now. Well, you might need it someday, though, to help others. God forbid any of us would need it for ourselves, but we might need it later. Might need it to help somebody. You know, there's plenty of people out there that are going through things. You know, they need some wisdom and guidance. But we must consider why there's trouble in the flesh. That's why we got to consider who you're marrying. First of all, you better consider that. The first thing we must know is what were the circumstances of the divorce? Do you understand that? Now that doesn't sit. You say that's pretty practical. It sure is. But it's one thing you better think about as someone who has been through a divorce, or if you're looking at somebody that has been divorced, what were the circumstances of that divorce? Why? Why did it happen? If they are divorced, why were they divorced? If the person or a lady or a man is interested, that you're interested, has a track record of abuse, but seem to be religious or nice right now, I should be very careful in even considering that person. If I understand that they had a track record before of abuse or something, and, oh, well, I'm different now, well, you know, how are you different? And find out if they're different. Now, maybe they were lost. Maybe they did some things. Maybe they got saved. Life changed. Amen? Hey, I believe in redemption. Amen? I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't. I believe in redemption. But you better be careful to know that that person's been redeemed and there's a track record of evidence of that. Amen? The changes have taken place there. The Lord's done His work there. If the man was arrested and charged with domestic abuse, and I don't know if I want my children around that. As a lady, you better think about that as well. Some ladies, sometimes they don't think about, well, this guy's been arrested for domestic abuse, you know, a domestic dispute and everything. I mean, he's been, you know, he's has a track record of, you know, some bad stuff. I mean, I that ought to be a red flag for a lady right now. Do I want my children around this? Amen? Now, make sure it's real, because today a guy can, I mean, just look at a woman and they're ready to arrest him in this state. Oh, man. I mean, that's how it is today. In Minnesota especially, man, you can get arrested just for looking at somebody almost. When it comes to domestic disputes, you know, they're, we pray that, now that, God's people ought to never get themselves involved in that. You, if you can't deny your flesh and walk away, you're a pitiful Christian. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. As a man, you deny your flesh and you just walk away. Go for a walk. Go for a drive. You shouldn't be to that point where you're that angry. By the way, you're not right with God when you're that angry either. So don't try to pretend that you are. If you get yourself up to that point to where you can be that way, you're not right with God. You better get your heart right with God. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Don't make friends with an angry person. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse number 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Better stay away from an angry man. Amen? You got a man that can get that angry, that walks around that angry and acts that angry all the time? Stay away from that person. What do you think about getting in a relationship with a person like that? Or a woman for that matter, by the way. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a White House. That's not the White House, that's a White House. Thought I might have pronounced it White House. It might be applicable. But anyway. That's terrible. It should be nicer than that. I'm working on it. I really. But anyway. But that's what the Bible says. It's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now that's not, the brawling woman is really with her speech. I mean, it could be with her hands too. But it's also that desire to fight with her mouth. I mean, my advice to you is not to marry a mouthy woman. Amen. I'm serious. Don't marry a mouthy woman. If she can't control her tongue, you shouldn't marry her. She's going to get you in a lot of trouble. Amen. She needs to get some things right. Because you're going to have a lot of trouble in the flesh if you marry a mouthy woman. I might make some people upset with that, but that's just the truth. That doesn't mean a woman can't, you know, a woman can't talk to you and you can't be reproved. Man, I have been a lot. I've had my wife say the simplest, calmest things to me, and I pretty much feel like dirt. She doesn't have to say a whole lot. Sometimes it's just a look. And I don't mean a mean, nasty look. It's just a look. You know, doesn't take a whole lot. Women don't understand the strength of what they have. You know, they don't understand where their real strength lies. It's in their meekness. It's not in manliness. It's in their meekness. That's where their strength lies. Amen? It is. Anyway, a brawling woman is one with speech as well as hands that want to fight. A woman that wants to fight and argue, you're better off sleeping on a housetop. You're better off alone. Please think and find out why they were divorced. Maybe things took place before they were saved, but they need to have a track record of obedience to God. I mean, you got to be careful. And I'll say this about a lady too. Lady, you better make sure you have... If your father's not there any longer or something like that, you better make sure you have a strong male influence to help you through that. That you're not just making decisions alone, because that man will sway you quickly. I mean, they know how to work a woman's heart. They just do. Men know how to do it. This is just simple scriptural advice. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A prudent person will not just believe face value, they'll look into it a little bit deeper. Amen? That's why Brother Joe tracks all of you down. No, I'm just kidding. We look at you at face value, but we're tracking. No, I'm just kidding. We're looking in deeper. What's that? No. But a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man will look to his ways. He'll look to make sure something's true, not just believe something that's said to him, but look into it. Amen? That's how you, with divorce and remarriage, you've got to look into things. You've got to know who this person is. You've got to ask a lot of questions. You've got to find out who this person really is. You know, that's with marriage too as well. Your father needs to do that. A father needs to make sure he knows who that person is. I'm speaking of remarriage because many times the father is not really a factor in remarriage. It should be. I'm not saying that that's right not to be. I'm just saying sometimes people are older, things happen. I mean, there's just different circumstances that come about with that. I still think, you know, there ought to be the father ought to be involved. But, amen. But Bible talks about a maiden or a young lady returning back to her house, you know, and having her father takes care of her and does that, you know. I'm amazed at how many men don't want to do that today, though. I'm just shocked and amazed how many men don't want to take care of their daughters. Yeah, you got to go get a full-time job and work and take care of yourself. And why? Why? I thought that was your daughter. I thought you were raising her to be a lady. Why is there no difference today in male men? I'm using this as an institutional sense. How is it that the church has decided today? How is it that they have decided today that they will raise them just according to the world's standards? Oh, they have to get degrees and they have to go out and get careers. And so then we're just training them for feminism. That's what we're doing. We're just training them like the world. We're training them to be feminists. Oh, no, it's Christian feminism, so it's okay. It's Christian feminism, so it makes it right. Sad, isn't it? You won't find one iota of it in the Bible. But when I say things like this, it upsets some people because, oh, no, no, no. Why would it upset you? It's not. I'm following the Bible. Why does it make you mad? I mean, you're inventing something that's not there, but it's okay for you to do that. But if I just follow the scriptures and I preach what's in there, it's not okay? Do you know yesterday? I'll tell you something. This is where we're at today. Yesterday, there was a thread on Facebook. Okay, I want you to listen to this now. There was a thread and somebody posted a quote from John Lennon. Okay, now John Lennon was a follower of Aleister Crowley. Okay? Aleister Crowley is on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts, whatever. He's on the cover of that album. And as people that inspired John Lennon. John Lennon, his desire was to destroy Christianity, destroy Jesus. He'd be more popular than Jesus. He said the Beatles are now more popular than Jesus. Well, they're all dying and going to hell. But he's already in hell. What's interesting is that I got on there and I said, well, Crowley's a devil. Crowley was a devil. I said, he's a Satanist. He's wicked as a devil, man. Oh, Crowley wasn't a Satanist. He was a blah, blah, blah. He goes, have you ever read his writings? Oh, yeah, I read his writings. I preached on it. Pop! And I put the sermon on there that I preached on. And the guy goes, oh, well, he's a sodomite. On one of the guys, he's a sodomite. He's bisexual, whatever. I'm not sure. But anyway, whatever. They're all sodomites. But just a wicked man or whatever. And he's on there trying to tell me what Aleister Crowley did. I said he's a 33rd degree Mason. He's in the occult. He was possessed by a spirit called Lamb. He reached. I mean, I you're not going to convince me. I know who the guy is. Okay. I said he's stinking rotten and evil is what he is. These two Christians got on that thread. Now listen to me, they're professing Christians. They're both lost. One's a Catholic guy, and the other one's she says she's a Christian. She goes to a Baptist church, but if that's her discernment, she's going to go to hell too. But I'm telling you, if that's your discernment and you really believe that, I mean, you're going to hell. You're not saved. you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Holy Ghost of God inside you, because everybody knows what evil is. When you're saved, you know what evil is. Come on. She goes, well, I've never heard of this Crowley, but I think you're wrong the way you're doing that. I said, lady, listen to me. And I don't argue with women because I can't stand it. Okay. But it just annoys me. Anyway, if that bothers you, that's okay. I don't like arguing with women. I just don't. I don't like arguing with women. I don't normally either. But when a lady is standing up there on this thread and she's sitting there, I'm being reproved for calling out the Satanist. Do you understand that they are taking sides with a Satanist? And I'm like, this whole world is nuts. I mean, I'm on a thread here with you people, and you people are defending Aleister Crowley. Think about it. What discernment is that? She goes, well, I just want everybody to know that that's not Christian. And that's not. And this, I said, wait a minute. Are you saying it's not Christian to call out Satanism, Satanism? I said, lady, I wouldn't receive a rebuke from you. You're on here defending a Satanist and a guy that is defending a Satanist. Why would I ever receive any type of rebuke from you? I said, I think you need to repent and get saved. You're lost. You're going to die and go to hell. I told all of them, that you're going to die and go to hell. Then this other guy pipes in and says, well, you're very arrogant. I said, no, I don't have any righteousness. Mine's Christ's righteousness. I don't have any myself. No arrogance about me. I'm just telling you the truth. And if you think I'm going to shut up when you're talking about Aleister Crowley, I know what he's done to America. I know his influence. I'm not shutting up. And I said, you're on the side, you're on the wrong side, friend. You need to get right with God. You need to get saved and get on the right side. You're fighting the wrong side, friend. Because even if I had a brother that was doing it wrong, I sure wouldn't announce it on that thread. Because he's proven absolute evil. But do you see how messed up we are? You see how easy? The prudent look into a matter. This woman and this other guy, they're spouting off. They don't even know who Aleister Crowley is. They don't even know what they're talking about. I said, you know, you'd be wise just to shut up and find out what you're talking about before you speak. It's really stupid to speak about something like that when you have no understanding of it. Go learn something and then come back and talk about it. Anyway, but that shows you that there's the prudence is that people are not prudent. They don't look into a matter. Same thing. If you base everything on emotions and you don't look into the matter and find out who this spouse really is, this person you want to remarry really is, or you want to get married to really is, and you're not prudent about it, you're going to get yourself in the same trouble again. It's going to happen. I should be able to discern. You know, I should be able to talk to the spouse that they are married to. Why not? Why not? Oh, they might poison them against me. So your life isn't that much of a testimony that a few words from this person would completely sway that other person? If you were innocent through it, I mean, I ought to have enough discernment to be able to talk to that person to figure out whether that person's just a liar and they're nuts. I'd be able to look at that person's life and say, well, they don't follow God. They hate. I mean, it's like Brother Rick's situation. It was easy to be able to look and see that this woman doesn't follow God. This woman fornicated on him. She did all these things to him. I mean, whatever she says, I got to take it at that value that it's filtered through all that sin and wickedness. Do you understand what I mean, though? But that person that you're marrying ought to be open enough to say, hey, okay, you can talk to them. Hey, man. They should be able to admit their faults. Beware if someone says they had no faults in a relationship, because that's impossible. No, I didn't do anything wrong. It was all them. No, you did something wrong. You did. Everybody does something wrong. Everybody has some faults. You may not have been the cause of the divorce. That doesn't mean you're the cause of the divorce. Do you understand the difference? Doesn't mean you're the cause of the divorce, but it means that you do have faults, and you contributed to that as well. Think about that. You contributed to that as well. Now, you may not have been the cause of it, and you couldn't have done nothing to stop it, but that doesn't mean that you didn't do some things wrong or have some misjudgments or make some mistakes or sin. Amen. If someone tells you, well, I didn't do anything wrong, you're going to be in some trouble if you didn't do anything wrong then, because you're going to be the only perfect person in the next relationship. And you're going to marry somebody that's imperfect. So if you didn't do anything wrong, then you're going to be marrying somebody, you're going to be perfect. So that person's going to have to marry a perfect person. So they're going to be doing all the wrong in that relationship. Then you're going to be in trouble. Does that make sense? Are you getting me? You did something wrong. You erred in judgment somewhere along the way. You sinned somewhere. You let your flesh get involved somewhere. Somewhere. I made some mistakes somewhere. If you ask me if I make any mistakes in my marriage, you have any faults in your marriage? Nah. Me? Don't ask my wife. No. Of course I have faults. Of course I fail. Of course I have problems. You know? Maybe some self-reflection time as well with that after divorce. Some self-reflection time. Say, you know what? I probably didn't handle this right. Now, that doesn't excuse the fact that it was the other person's fault or that they caused the divorce or whatever. I mean, there's blatant cause of it, obviously. But at the same time, I have to look inside and make sure, according to the scriptures, that, man, I'm not going to do this again. I messed up here. I got to be careful with that. If I don't have any of those things, then, man, I don't know. You're going to be a perfect person, married an imperfect person. You better stay alone. Do you hear me? Think about that. You better stay alone. If you think you're perfect, you ain't gonna be able to marry anybody. You better stay married to Christ. He's the only perfect spouse. Amen. So just keep in mind that, okay? I'm trying to help you, not to get proud, not to exalt yourself above what you should and get yourself into trouble. If we don't ever see our faults, Bible says confess your faults one to another. Amen. If we don't ever see our faults and where we may have erred, if we don't see that, then how can we better ourselves in the Lord? How can we become better? Amen? We can't. We've already arrived. We're perfect. So, no, we can't take that approach. Amen? So, just please understand that. That's what I'm trying to say here. And that's even if you couldn't fix the problem or you couldn't fix the other person. That doesn't mean it's your fault. You can't fix the other person. I mean, they got to be willing to do right. But there's still, we've got to look at ourselves and self-examination there. By the way, we must consider what that person was exposed to as well, the person you decide to marry or an interest in marrying. If they were an abused spouse, verbally or physically, you need to know this and it has to be dealt with. Because this will cause trouble in the flesh. Were they abuser or are they the one that was abused? They might have been the one that was abused. So now you have to deal with that person differently than you normally would. Why? Another person, why? Can I be sensitive enough for that person? Can I be sensitive to their needs? Because, you know, they might be overly sensitive. So you're going to have to watch the words that you say. Because you might be able to say something like, I guarantee you there's some things that I say to my wife that I couldn't say to other women, even if they were my wife, I couldn't do that. You know, I couldn't say that type of thing because, man, they'd get all kinds of hurt that because of what they've been through. You know, she's never been through that before. So it wouldn't affect her like that. I mean, she can joke around. I mean, I've had people see me and Hannah and they think, oh man, he's really mad. And, oh man, he's really upset. They're at our house or something. I'm playing it off, you know. I'm real mad, you know. And she's just looking over at me. She's laughing because she knows he's not mad. Even if he was, she's not worried about it anyway. She's not. Why? Because she doesn't have to fear me. She doesn't have to be scared of me. Amen. No. But you have to understand that you may be dealing with somebody that's sensitive to words. And man, you're going to have to be cautious. You're going to have to be careful dealing with that person. Maybe a man, you know, said a lot of verbally abusive things to her, called her names or, you know, said she was stupid or, you know, made fun of her weight or made her self-conscious over her weight or something like that, or anything like that. A lady's going to be sensitive to that. If you can't be the type of man that is super sensitive to that, then maybe that relationship's not the right one. You know what I mean? Now, in love, we should be able to do that, but if God will make that all happen, if that's the way it should be. But if someone can't, listen to me, if you've been divorced or remarried, you understand one thing, and I haven't been, but I do know by watching people and seeing things, you do carry that trouble in the flesh with you. And there are some things that you bring with you. There's some pain and some sorrow that is with you. And it's baggage. And, some of that baggage is hard to deal with for a man or a woman. It's tough. Now, the right man, it won't scare them away. Or the right woman, it won't scare them away, possibly, if you're dealing with it the right scriptural way. I know it's messy when you start talking about things like this. I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to give you some basis of something, because I don't ever hear anybody preaching on anything like this. So I'm just trying to give you some scriptural guides, okay? I know it's kind of different, but if you're dealing with somebody who's super sensitive to words and everything like that, or criticism, you're going to have to deal with that differently. It's tough sometimes with that. But next, comparing your spouse to a previous one will cause trouble in the flesh. That's one thing. Or a previous, if you were in fornication or something like that. when the Bible says comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise, let me tell you, it's not wise, okay? Don't do it. My sins come up before me, okay? I'm gonna tell you something. When I was first married, I made a comment to my wife about something, that a past girlfriend did or something. I think I only did that once, I'm pretty sure it was only once, because it didn't take any a second time to really say that, because that wasn't a good idea. I mean, it was like, behold, a whirlwind. I mean, just, there goes Jason. It wasn't good. It was bad. But it hurts people. Okay, you can't do that. You don't want to make those comparisons, because you're going to hurt them. Okay, you're gonna especially a lady. They'll be very hurt by those things. So a man would be too. But most of the time, women don't do that. It's mostly men that do that, because we're insensitive jerks. But that's it's usually a man that will do something like that. I very rarely have ever heard of a woman really doing that. It's mostly men that act like a fool. But anyway. Just be careful about that and understand that doing those comparisons, because it's going to be in your head because of what you've experienced and what you've been through to make a comparison like that. And you can't do that. And that's good for somebody that maybe was in, like I was, into a lifestyle of sin, got saved, and was ready to get married. Listen, you need to know these things. This would be profitable for you to understand. Don't be comparing things to what you had before, because God is giving you something that He wants you to have, not what the world offered you. Just remember the difference there. Matthew 19, verse number 4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that which he made them at the beginning, made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let that man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses give the command to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. Well, it wasn't so, because in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. But sin entered the world, and death by sin. What am I saying here? Why bring it up? Because there's trouble when you've yoked your flesh up to something else in the past. And when you move on to the future, your thought process and you thinking about it, it can cause, in you, it can cause some mental turmoil. And comparisons. And by the way, guys, you understand, if you've ever been a part of a relationship that you shouldn't have been, or been through those things, or if you've viewed pornography, or if you've seen wickedness or anything like that, those images are burned into your mind. And, those type of comparisons will come up in your mind. And it's something that you have to deal with as a man, and you have to beat your body and put it under subjection. I'm talking about your sin nature. I'm not talking about actually, you know, beating yourself up or anything, but put that sin nature under the Spirit, amen, and make it subject to the Spirit. You know, make it the Spirit dominant over that, so you don't have that problem. That you do that. It's a real issue, though. A woman may compare the way the man provides or dresses or acts or any of those things too, as well. You got to be careful about that. You know, a man might compare, well, this person did this and that and this, and how come you don't do this? And I suppose, you know, you got to be careful too, probably about comparing your wife to your mother. Oh, my mom used to do this, or my mom did it this way, or my mom did it that way. You know, that might be a wonderful thing that your mom did it that way, but your mom ain't living with you for the rest of your life. She kicked you out of the house for a reason, pal. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not wrong if you have a preference of something that you like and say, honey, could you please do it this way? That's not wrong. But I'd be very careful about how far you push that, okay? Because you didn't marry your mother. You married your wife, okay? And God gave her that kind of sphere in her home to kind of do things. So if you bring mom into the picture all the time, you say, well, mom did it this way. Mom did it this way. Mom did it this way. You know, she might say, well, go marry your mom then. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's right, but what I'm saying is that, you know, you can't do that to a lady. You got to let her be your wife. Amen. I know this is all weird practical stuff. I don't usually preach like this. I like screaming at you better. But anyway, I'm not doing that right now. Is this resonating at all? Sometimes I feel like I'm just up here talking. You guys think, you guys, you're nuts, man. Is this making sense to anybody out there? I hope it is. I hope it's practical things that I'm just trying to help you with, because I know how easy people can be wounded. I know they can be hurt. And the last thing a lady wants to do is be compared to her mother all the time, or your mother all the time. That she's got to be like your mom or it's not right. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't, I don't get real hung up on that kind of stuff. But you know that, because I'm not very detail oriented with a lot of stuff like that. So that's why God sends you guys in to kind of help me out sometimes. But I don't make a big deal of stuff. I really don't. I try not to, about little stuff like that. Let your wife, let her be your wife, okay? Don't make her your mother. All right? Does that make sense? I mean, I think you'll get yourself in trouble if you're trying to. That doesn't mean you can't lead her, say, I like this. If she, you know, if your wife loves you, she's going to do things that please you. I mean, she's going to want to. That's going to be part of her nature. But to like force her to be like your mom, dude, is like really weird, okay? She's not your mom. She's your wife. So get over it. You're a big boy now. You're in your own house now. Okay? All right? Man, I'm going to meddling now. Anyway, I'm good at it, though. Anyway. Well, what is preaching if it's not meddling? Brother Russ is glad he stayed home today. He's probably busted a gun on his couch eating oatmeal raisin cookies. But anyway... But comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Just remember that. Just be sensitive to that, okay? Because you're going to spend the rest of your life with your wife. And you married her because you loved her. And you wanted to love her. Now let her be her. That doesn't mean you don't perfect her. That's our job as a husband. That's our calling, is to nurture them and protect them and help them be better. And present them faultless, amen? And everything else like that. But let's be sensitive to those things too, okay? Those are important things. All right, next. I know, man, we want to eat lunch, don't we? How much more I got here? Let me see here.